Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this morning, and we thank you for that we can just celebrate Father's Day. We thank you and praise you for the fathers and give them strength to protect their families, Lord. And so we thank you for our fathers, and Lord, we give all thanks to you, and we thank you that you are the perfect Father. You are the perfect Father, and we can come under you, and you will show us in the love and the care of a perfect Father. So we give all thanks to you. And so, Lord, we ask you that you would just touch us this message, just open things up to us, as you truly reveal things to us that we had never know unless you would show them to us. So just anoint me with your Spirit that I may speak the words of the Spirit, and open each heart that they may receive of the Spirit. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. We're going to be looking at Ephesians this morning, Ephesians 6. And I'll start off by reading Ephesians 6:11, but kind of to set the stage. Have you ever noticed, like in life, you go through something, everything's set up perfect, you know, and then it falls apart for no reason. It just falls apart. Everything goes wrong, and you go, what is this nonsense? I mean, it's just like, this can't be happening. Or have you ever stepped in a situation you're going through, oh man, this looks like a mess, and you don't know what's going to happen, and then everything works out. It just works out. Just clicks along. So what in the world's going on? And you know you have nothing to do with the problem, and you know you had nothing to do with it working out. And you think, what is going on here? Well, we're going to talk about that this morning, because there are things happening behind the scenes. All right, there are things happening behind the scenes. There are things happening behind what we see. See, we just see kind of the props of the stage. We don't see everybody in back moving the props around. All right, so we see it moving, but we can't quite figure it out. Well, we're going to get a little insight to that this morning, and the Lord's what he's going to do. He's going to reveal it to us. He's going to reveal it to us so that we can have some understanding and cooperate with God and know what's going on, all right? Now, it's important to know what's going on, because I can assure you of this, that the world we live in do not know what's going on. They don't know what's going on. All right? And so they're working in this world, and they think they have it in control, or they think it's out of control, so they're working it, but they don't understand that they're just seeing the props. They're not seeing what's behind the scenes working it. So it always just kind of turns out to be a mess. Turns out to be a mess, and they can't figure out what to do. Or when they do something, it doesn't work out. So we're going to have a little insight this morning. Ready? We're going to have some. All right. Ephesians 6:11. Now, this is to believers. Okay? This is to believers. All right? The ones outside the church, non-believers, they're not grasping this. So this is to us and to let us know. But this is happening outside the church too. But we have an understanding. Ephesians 6:11 says this. To believers, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. Now, just that statement tells you a lot, doesn't it? It means there's a devil, and he's scheming. He's, you know, he's not nice. He's kind of, you know, going behind your back. He's whispering nasties in other people's ear. He's scheming. He's scheming, all right? So that's his function. I always loved what Jesus, you know what Jesus said about him? He said he's a liar and the father of the lies. Now, that wasn't very nice of Jesus, was it? I mean, golly, I thought Jesus just said nice things, okay? But he said, no, this is the truth. You can't say anything nice about this. He's a liar and he's the father of lies. And so here we have in Ephesians, put on the whole armor of God, because you're going to need it, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. In this world, with all our human activity, there is a personified, tangible, evil scheming around us. I just worked out bad. No, somebody worked it out bad. See, there's a tangible entity. Now, look here. We'll go and look at Ephesians 6:12. These schemes are from an entity, the devil. All right? There's an entity, and he is the devil. He's a real active entity moving. Man, that's just bad. You know, here you see, and I think it's important to point out, a lot of times you hear in the world and they say, there is no evil. There's no evil. You can't say anything is evil. You know, things just go bad or they go wrong, but there's no evil, so we can fix it. Well, right there, they're in trouble because there is an evil. And they just denied there's an evil. See, so they don't think there's an evil, so they, of their own person, can work and try to fix the things so there won't be any evil in the world. But they can't fix this person, this entity, this spiritual entity, all right? And so here we have, going about the schemes of the devil, Ephesians 6:12, it says this, "For we," now who is the we? Who is we? We is the we, all right? We is the we. "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places." Oh, man. Oh, man. I mean, this entity, the devil, he's hitting it and he's getting it in the spirit heavenlies. He's moving. All right. So things are happening. It's this entity. It's an evil entity at work. Now, I just kind of broke this verse out, just two verses out, and I just wanted to highlight. I had some points here next, just so we can look at it, and so it would just seal it in our mind here of what's going on. What's going on? There is a personified evil in this world. Well, that's evil. They were just raised rotten. They just went, you know, had a lousy mother. That's why he's evil. You know, wasn't potty trained right. You know, had a bad first grade teacher. You know, no, there is evil. There is evil in the world. There's a personified evil in this world. Now, and here it kind of breaks out so that we can understand it. It is this personified evil. There's schemes of the devil. That means if you scheme, you got to be kind of thinking. You know, some of the smartest people I've ever seen were schemers. You know, because they're figuring it out. They're working the system, all right? And they're causing all sorts of problems, and they just kind of step back. I didn't know that. You know, so wait a minute, I think you caused that. You know, so you got to be sharp to be a schemer. Be sharp. You know, you don't have to be too sharp to tell the truth and remember the truth. You don't have to be too smart to do that. You know, people that tell the truth very seldom get confused. You ever notice that? Because it's the same story over and over. No, it's there. This is what happened. I don't know. This is what happened. Schemer has to be really smart because they're telling the story here, story here, story here. And then they got to keep all the stories straight. And they got to keep working the system. So you got to be pretty smart to be a schemer. And by the way, the devil, as far as capacity, is smarter than all of us. Because he remembers everything, and he has humanity from the beginning of time, so he's working it. He's working it. He remembers stuff. He is a schemer. There is schemes of the devil all through history. All through. How could that evil happen? There's a schemer. There's a schemer. And it's an entity. And it says this, "The cosmic powers over this present darkness." Oh, Lordy. The cosmic powers. Now, there's verses that indicate, and I won't go into them right now, that when Satan fell, he took a third of the angels. And there's millions in the Bible seems that there, and angels are created beings. God created angels. Okay, you ever say, your mom, grandmother died and she became an angel. No, she did not. She go to heaven be with Jesus, but she didn't become an angel. God created the angels at the beginning, before creation. So he had all these angels. And it says in Scripture, and they all worshiping God. Well, something happened. Satan rebelled against God, and he led in rebellion one third of the angels. So you got millions and millions of angels, however many they are, innumerable amount of angels. Well, one third of them, Satan led away. All right? And so God threw Satan out of his presence. So God and Gabriel and Michael, those are good angels that are named. There's two-thirds of the remaining angels are with God. So there's a bunch of angels with God. But there's a bunch of angels that are not. All right? And these are cosmic powers. Cosmic powers. You ever, you look overseas and you say, man, you've got this world dictator and he's nuts. How did he get so nuts? See, he's got his special evil angel. See? Because it's an evilness beyond human evilness. You know, it's a bloodthirstiness beyond human bloodthirstiness, you know. See, again, Jesus said he was a murderer, and he's been a murderer from the beginning. See? So they have influence. So good angels have influence on us, you know, nice things. What do evil angels do? They're not so nice. See? They influence people. They influence people. They influence. Now, they're working under the big umbrella of God, but they have, there's a certain freedom. There's a certain freedom there. So we have these evil angels. So there's schemes of the devil. There's cosmic powers over this present darkness. It's light outside. What is he talking about? It's not dark outside. What is he talking about, this present darkness? This present spiritual darkness. See, they're at work. They're at work. They're busy little bees. They're busy little bees, all right? Then what else it says? They are spiritual, number three, there are spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. So they're in heavenly places. I mean, they're just moving around the world. See? And, you know, now if you know a schemer and you would take the smartest schemer, would they be organized? Would they have things in line? See? Well, sure. Well, sure. You know? Evil is organized. Do you suppose Satan's organized? Now, I'm kind of getting a little speculation, but do you think evil's organized? He has a plan. He has a direction. He's working the system. There's an order. There is an order. And it says cosmic power, spiritual forces. It's almost like there's a designated order. See, they're working. They're working the system. He's got his minions that listen to him. I bet he would really get ticked off if you didn't obey. I don't know how one angel slaps another angel around, but I would bet that it's like, you don't want to mess with him. You don't want to make the boss mad. Man, that guy can really get mad, you know. So, but this is what's happening. And so, but what the scripture is telling us, it's to us like, wants to let you know, this is what's going on. You're in this world, and this is what's happening. I want to let you know, okay? And it goes back to, you know, Ephesians 6. Put on the whole armor of God. Put on the whole armor of God. Okay, this is some bad stuff going on. You need the whole armor of God, and I'm letting you know. The whole lost world is under this, but we know. We know. Now, who would Satan be more mad at? The lost world? Church. The church. Church drives him nuts. Church drives him crazy. He'll organize his forces to destroy the church because he got the lost world. He's working them. He's working them. But we cause an issue. He causes an issue. So he's working it so to neutralize us. See, because we have a lot of power. And one of the things he wants to do is to communicate to us so that we don't understand how much power we have. See, he doesn't want us to know. I remember Pastor Milliken, you've heard me mention him before about, and he'd quote this, he'd tell me, and you know, you just see him, you just felt like Jesus walked in. And I would complain to him. I've already told you I complained a lot, right? Well, I would complain to him, and he would say real deep spiritual things to me, like he says, you know, Satan trembles when the weakest Christian gets on his knees. Oh yeah, that's what I was thinking. That's what I was thinking. See, and so he would, and it was like, okay, but see what he said, just know who you are. Know who you are. You need to know who you are. So here it is. So we got this picture. Now, so let's look at this verse, this next verse here. I want you to look at 1 Peter 5:8. So we'll jump out of Ephesians and the Apostle Paul. So we'll jump over 1 Peter and look at the Apostle Peter. You know, 1 Peter 5:8. So, based on this information, wisdom says, pay attention. Okay, pay attention. I'm just letting you pay attention. Nobody else knows what's going on. You do know what's going on. Pay attention. And it says this in 1 Peter 5:8. Be sober-minded. Be sober-minded. Be watchful. Pay attention. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. He's a murderer. He's a liar. The father of all lies. And he is our adversary. He doesn't like us. I know. I mean, you know, and I always wonder, you know, kind of you have a crazy dictator, you know, someplace. Just pick one out. And I said, well, let's just negotiate with him. But he's under the influence of our adversary that hates us. See, it's just, you got, well, I don't know if it's going to work out, you know. I don't know if it's going to work out because he's an adversary, all right? And he's going around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. He wants our demise. That's his purpose. He wants our demise. So I broke this one out again. Here's a few points on this one just so we can look at it and focus on it. I will repeat, there's a personified evil in this world. An evil. Look, it's our adversary, the devil. He is real. It is an individual. He is an entity. He is an entity, all right? And he is the devil. And he is our adversary. You can't negotiate with him. You've heard comments like, you better not dance with the devil. See, that's really paints the picture here. This is what happens when you dance with the devil. Because he is going to get to you. He is an adversary. That's all that's in his mind is our destruction. So you got to be careful with the compromises because he's just looking for an avenue to destroy. That's all he's doing. Aren't we smarter already? See, we understand kind of what's going on. And then you look, he prowls around like a roaring lion. Now that didn't sound good either. You know, just prowling around like a roaring lion. So he's looking and searching for food. He's searching and looking for someone to destroy. Just let your guard down. Doesn't make any difference this time, whatever. And he moves in. He's to destroy. Then the third point here, seeking someone to devour. All right? See, what happens when you devour something? Now, Linda says, what do I want for Father's Day? And I said, I want her to take me to Blue Ridge Grill. And I want steak. Sorry, Michael. I want a steak. And you know what I'm going to do with that steak? I'm going to devour it. I will devour. And I can promise you, you ever seen somebody go and eat a steak and eat half of it and say, I'm full? Never happened to me. Never. I'm going to devour it. There won't be anything there. All right? I'm eating that thing. Every bit. And if I wasn't in a public place, I'd lick the plate. I mean, oh gosh. I just love it. So that's devour. So what's Satan doing? He's seeking someone to devour. He ain't want nothing left over. See, so that's what he said. So here we are. It's like, oh my gosh. Now you're probably just scared flat to death. Lordy be. And it's frightening. It's frightening. But this is what the Lord is telling us. Now, remind us, go to verse 11. It says in Ephesians 6, that put on the full armor of God. We have an armor, but we need to pay attention. We need to put it on or we're not going to be able to stand. So he's telling us, you can't just, oh, I love Jesus. I'm just going to go to, you know, some foreign country and preach Jesus. Hey, you know, might as well stay here, get some equipment on. A little discipleship and equipment and a shield and stuff. And we kind of work. And then maybe you should go. Is that not going to be a good place? He's going to devour you. He's going to devour you. And probably while you're here, he'll whisper in your ear, say, go ahead and do it. Go ahead and do it. You can do it. And you give, and then he'll devour you. Why? Because he's a schemer. Amen. Is it making sense what's happening? Unfortunately, Linda and I have actually seen things like happen to that. People going to the missions field, God's called us, we're going, man, you're not prepared. You know, this doesn't look good. Oh, Jesus will take care of me. I don't know if Jesus blesses ignorance, you know, like that. And seen them go, and almost to the person, if not to the person, been disaster. There's been a couple of deaths that we've witnessed, all right? Didn't they love Jesus? They loved Jesus, but they didn't have a lot of wisdom. All right? So here we are. So I thought, so I've got this picture. This is a great picture. Tell me if any of you feel like this. You ever feel like this? You can just go, you go, gosh, that Satan, and just, you know. Now, he won't appear to you, and you won't seem like that, but the circumstances in your life look like that. You feel like the circumstances are just crushing you. The things that go wrong are just crushing you, and you feel like that. Because he's not going to be so bold to show you who he is, because the schemer will never show you for sure who he is. You're not quite sure. Schemer, you're never quite. That's the reason the world doesn't see him. He doesn't want to show who he is. Then you might start believing in divinity and spiritual things. No, he won't keep you dumb about that. So he'll bring stuff, but it's him. It's him bringing that things upon you, and you just think, oh my gosh, this is like a roaring lion. All the stuff that's going wrong, it's just, I can't believe it. It's impossible, all right? So that's what's happening. So what the devil is doing, and he's using circumstances to come around you, the devil is loud, desiring to harm us. Don't underestimate him. His desire is to harm us. To harm us. Now, however, okay, we know this. However, we have all the necessary protection we need in Christ. We have all the necessary protection we need in Christ. Amen? We do. We just need to remember that as it comes. So we have all the protection we have in Christ. And so this frightening information is presented so we will not be ignorant. It's happening. Okay? So God just doesn't want us ignorant about what's happening. And not only are we equipped through Christ, there are also millions of good angels ministering for our good. You see it? There's millions ministering for our good. So, I mean, this is behind the scenes. We're just floating along. Hey, man, this is good. No problem. We'll go on vacation. Everything's going to work out. We're just happy. Nothing's happening. Stuff's happening. We just ain't seeing it. We're not seeing it, so we got to pay attention. We got to pay attention to what's going on, because it is happening. And so even though we do not see them, even though we may not see them, we know that God is working around us, angels around us, on our behalf. On our behalf. All right? So the Apostle Paul, he's showing us what's going on. He says, this is who the fight is against. Understand that. But there's also things working on our behalf. The good angel. Y'all want to look at a good angel? Huh? We'll flip. He says, like, come on, give me a good angel. Man, I tell you what. In the Old Testament, it gives some beautiful pictures. And again, what does the Old Testament do? It gives us beautiful pictures so we can see. Because God knows we need to see some stuff. All right, so here's a picture, and so we get behind the curtain. We get behind the props, and we see what's going on. We go, I will be son of a gun. That's why that moved. That's why that happened. So God takes us behind the props. So you want to go behind the props? Amen. Okay, here's a great one. Great Old Testament picture. 2 Kings 6, 16 and 17. Now, I love, this is Elisha, and he has this servant for him. And I really identify with this servant. I do identify. Because they're surrounded by this army. Elisha. They're looking for Elisha. They've fed up with Elisha. So they're surrounded by this army. And so his servant comes out. Says, Elisha, we're going to die. We're done. It's over. We're just finished. Right here. You know. So I mean, it's always good to have servants around like that, isn't it? What do you think? We're going to die. It's over. It's finished. And so Elisha's going, gee whiz. You know. So Elisha speaks to this servant. So here they are, just Elisha, this one servant, and this massive army is coming after him. And he says this. Elisha said, do not be afraid, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them. Now, if I'm the servant, I'm going, Elisha, look, me, you. Ain't nobody else. Is everybody more with you? Mm-mm, look at that count. All right, look at this. Ain't happened. See, that's what a good complaining servant knows how to do, you know. And again, what? I have eyes. It's me, you, 100. Don't tell me there's more with me than more with them. See, y'all relating? You're relating? Come on, relate with me. I'm giving you my testimony. All right. All right, he said, do not be afraid, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them. Then Elisha prayed and said, oh, Lord, please, oh, dear God, please open his eyes that he may see. So the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountains was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elijah. See, Elijah, I ain't scared. Elijah, you're nuts, man. It's me and you. Look at that. No, Elijah, I have spiritual eyes. And this mountain is surrounded by chariots of fire. Angels and chariots of fire. God opened his eyes so he can see what I see. See, that's what the church does. The church has faith. They sees into the spirit world. The church has faith. They can see what's happening around. The church has understanding. See? Even, and they show us these pictures in the Old Testament, so even if we don't see them, we know. We have confidence because we know. Because God has told us. We know because God has told us. You know what that's called? Faith. Now, we don't just think it up. No, God has shown it to us. And so God is speaking to us so that we can understand. He has a picture so that we can understand. Now, you go back to Ephesians 6:11. You're fighting. Be aware. It's not flesh and blood. It's principalities. And by the way, there's more of them around us than around anything else. I want you to know. Put on the full armor of God. We're covered. We numerically win. We numerically win. By the way, Satan is now here's with just a little conjecture, okay? It says, I believe there's I shouldn't even go on this, but it's fun to talk about. I believe there's an angelic trinity, God, if you will. I think God works in threes like that. But I think it's Michael, the archangel, and Gabriel, the archangel, and Satan, the archangel. Satan's an archangel, just like Gabriel, and just like Michael. See? So one of the archangels warred against the two and got thrown out of heaven. And it says in the Bible that Michael, the archangel, fought Satan, the archangel. You see what I'm saying? So this battle, and those are only three angels have names, by the way. Any of you have Mormon friends? It's only three angels. Michael, Gabriel, and Satan, and their archangels. They were the three in control. One of them rebelled. And so he's causing all this havoc. So we understand that this war, this spiritual war dynamic is going on around us. Going on around us all the time. Satan is working his plan, and God is working out his plan, carry it out. Now, so here's the picture. All right? So won't you feel better? Like if we could see, I believe it, if we could look outside the door. My gosh, there's a million chariots of fire around us in church. I feel good. I feel good. Because who is he going to take care of? His people. His people. So we feel good. Now, that's an Old Testament picture. How about a New Testament picture? All right? We like a New Testament picture. So I like the pictures because we can get our arms around them. So here we have a great New Testament picture of God's angelic ministry to protect believers. So what you have, and some of you are surely familiar with this story, you got Peter, and they throw Peter. Hey, lock him up. So they're moving the props around. They get Peter. They throw him in jail. They set the guards outside. They lock the doors, and they put him in the court, and they chain him up. Now, Peter, he must have more faith in Elijah's servant, because Peter just goes to sleep. He goes, whatever. Yeah. So he just goes to sleep. So that's the situation with Peter. Now it says also, this is a little side note, they said that all the church had gathered in together and were praying for Peter. They were praying for Peter, all right? Peter, they're praying for Peter. They're worried to death about Peter. He's in jail sleeping. He's just sleeping. He's cutting Z's, all right? So he's just sleeping. Now look what happens. In Acts 12, verse 7, this is what happened. Acts 12, verse 7. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood next to him and shone a light in the cell. He struck Peter on the side and woke him up. I just think that's funny.
Wake up, Peter, get up.
You don't understand the situation, Peter. Up. Wake up. So he kicks him in the side and he says, wake up, Peter, you need to wake up. And then he says, get up quickly. So when an angel says, get up quickly, I think you ought to get up quickly. You know, why wouldn't say, hey, just linger around, we'll mosey on out of here. No big problem, Peter. No, he said, get up quickly. Why? Because there's a war going on. There's a war going on. There's a spiritual war going on. Come on, Peter. Down here, get up quickly. Quickly. So he gets up and chains fall off his hands. Now that tells you what we're dealing with. See? He's get up and he's fall off. How can they do it? How can it just fall off? Because we're dealing with spiritual realities that are greater with the physical. And so he's get his fall off. Think about that. They fall off. Now, the angel leads Peter out of jail, out of prison, and they come to a big iron gate that opens by itself. Now look at this, Acts 12:10. And when they had passed the first and second guard, now what are these guys doing? What are these guys doing? Now you're going to try, you know, they're not snoozing, they're watching. Okay, they're ready, they're guarding Peter. See? When they passed the first and second guard, they didn't see him. They just walked past them. They didn't see him. They came to an iron gate leading into the city. It opened for them of its own accord. Who's moving the props? Who's moving the props? Man, you say, man, Martha, did you see that gate just open? Why? How'd that happen? I don't know. It must have been a windstorm, blew. What happened? It's open of its own accord. They didn't see nothing. Guards, what about the guards? Guards didn't see nothing. And by the way, this wasn't a big deal. I mean, and this was a big deal for the guards, because Herod called the guards and says, what happened? Said, I don't know, he's just standing there, the guy, he's gone. You know, and Herod killed both guards. See? So this is like, man, there's a lot of stuff happening going on here. So here's the picture, that they came to this iron, the chains fall off, they walk past the guards, this iron gate opens by itself. Now, I share something personal. This verse always speaks to me. I don't know why, but it always has, I think, from the first time I read it. But it just tells me, the Holy Spirit's just telling me, that any time we come to a locked iron gate in our lives, God's going to send his angel to open it. Because you go, there's no way. It's impossible. The gate's locked. We can't get through. Okay. Then God will send that angel, and he'll open it. See, because we know who moves the props. See, and it has to be an iron gate locked before we ever will give God credit to open it. Because we go up there and give it a shoulder and kick it and push in and say, man, I'm tough. I got out of here. Can't wait to get to the church and tell them how I pushed this gate open. See, so he has to give us one locked that won't open. You know, because we'll have to say, man, I just walked up and seen it open by itself. Everybody will go, oh, praise Jesus. See how God works that? And he has to work that through us. But he's telling us. He's giving us this information so we understand what's going on in our life. And so we need to be encouraged. We need to be personally encouraged, because God will open the iron gate that is before you. He will open the iron gate before you. Now, I had a picture. I was looked all over the internet looking for an iron gate. There we go, found one. See, you walk up, and you just walk up to that thing, and you just beat on it, kick on it, push it in, but you walk out, and it just opens. And it makes a point here. It opens of its own accord. Just Peter and an angel. Just Peter and an angel, and it just opens. What happened to change? This fell off. See? What we see who's moving the props. We see who's moving the props. And so God is trying to encourage us. Now, this message is entitled Behind the Scenes. And the importance of it, in this world, we see all the physical and visible realities. And they're real. By the way, they're real. We see these physical realities. While these are true and real, just as true and real are the spiritual realities behind the scenes. We have to work in this world with the physical realities, but in our mind we know there's a spiritual reality working behind the scenes. We understand that. And it's working all around the world. All right? And so we have insight to that. But we need, and he tells us this, so that we can have an understanding as we move forward. Now, Satan can destroy believers. I don't think Satan can personally get in and kill a believer. But he can do with what Linda and I saw with those two missionaries and lie to them and have them believe something that's not true, and they'll put themselves in harm's way where they are killed. See? So he does it through a lie. He does it through a scheme because he personally can't touch us. He personally can't touch us. So God said, put on the whole armor. God, listen, you need to pay attention. Because you get hurt out there. You need to pay attention. Now I'm trying to tell you how to pay attention. So we need to open our spiritual eyes and we need to pay attention. Amen? Because it's not pretty what's happening around the world. You know, sometimes, all this type of starving to death and we could just get together and feed them. You know, and we could solve the problem. No. Satan is behind the destruction of the problem. And no amount of effort will resolve the problem until Satan's taken care of. It's just the way it is. That's the facts. He's wreaking havoc. He's wreaking evil. I said, well, what is God doing? Now, beware. What is God doing? He put the church. Now, what is the church doing? Okay, there's enough people in the church and feed everybody in the world. No, there's not enough people in the church. There's not enough money. There's not enough food. But there's enough power in the church to make a spiritual impact on the evil. Because we know where the problem is. We see it. Amen? See, and so he's telling us, so we have this understanding. So we're just talking about in the thing about angels. So these angels are moving. It's happening all over the world. Millions of these angels. And so here's a couple of great verses, and it just tells us that angels are ministers to serve believers. Okay? And this is important. These are good angels. They're ministers to serve believers. Look at Hebrews 1:7. Of the angels, he says, this is God, of the angel, God says, he makes his angels winds and ministers a flame of fire. See, that's wow. That's on our side. Gosh, that's what Elijah saw. He has chariots of fire. See, it's like, so that's his angels. How am I going to take care of Elijah and his unbelieving buddy? I'll just send, you know, thousands of chariots of fire to take care of it. See, I got this. See, look at Hebrews 1:14. Talking about angels. Are they not all ministering spirits sent out to serve for the sake of those who are to inherit salvation? So they're ministering spirits sent out to serve whom? Us. And God said, pay attention. Okay, and it blesses them. But I know Linda, she can picture the faces. I know she can right there. These two missionaries, you know, they love Jesus, but you're going, God, mighty, you shouldn't have done that. You know, see, and it's like, no, they need to pay attention because you can get hurt. I love Jesus, okay? You're going to love Jesus and go see him way sooner than you thought you were. You know, you got to pay attention here. What's going on? There's a battle going on here. Okay, and people are getting hurt. People are getting hurt in that battle, and we need to pay attention. The verse opens up in Ephesians 6:11-12. Put on the full armor of God. Read about it. Read what that armor is. Read what that armor is, all right? Now, I'm going to give you quickly, and I've told this story before, but I do want to just share with it. And it's Linda and I are... between us are absolutely convinced, all right? So we're totally convinced about this. And it's us, and we've had, you know, 20 years to reflect on it, and we're still convinced about it. But it's the strangest thing in the world happened to us where we believe we came in personal contact with an angel. And it's like, it's one of those things you go, gosh, that was interesting. I mean, everything was wrong, and then everything worked out. And it's like, and so we're going, so we just locked it up, both of us. Now, y'all know I can be shaky, but you know Linda's not. All right? She's not shaky on this stuff. But what happened, we went to an airport. We went to an airport in Madrid. It was kind of going on a missions trip, actually, thing. And so, we're going out there. And, you know, we only know one language, and that's English. Not very well at that, all right? Not very well. We don't even know English well. And so we go in Madrid, and something I found out in Madrid, in the Spanish are kind of like irritated at you just because you don't know Spanish. They aren't. They don't like you because you can't say anything in Spanish. So they won't help you at all. And that's what's there. So we go to the airport. We have a ticket. We have to change planes in Madrid. So we're going up ticket. We're getting no help. And they're not even nice about it. I don't know any of you from Spain, but anyway, maybe it's just Madrid. I don't know. But they weren't. And so we're going on. I have to tell what Linda said. It was just funny. She slapped the desk and she goes, "Doesn't anybody in this place speak English?" You know, in Madrid, evidently not. But anyway, they kept patting on this line. It was a blue line. So we followed it. I know how these people get killed and go to these concentration camps. I mean, follow the line. All right. We just followed the line and went in here. Oh, here we are. I mean, it's like, oh, my gosh. Well, we got there. Nobody would help us. And like I said, just had an attitude about it. And we're trying to make our connection. And so we had the flight numbers on that. And so this is where you went out on the airport, the runway, and they had, you know, steps into the plane. So you could see. So I could see the plane had the number and a ticket. We didn't have a boarding pass or nothing. And we couldn't get anybody to help us. You know, you're pointing a ticket, pointing to this, pointing the plane, and nothing. I mean, just nothing. I was nervous and frustrated. And they're loading this thing up, you know, and nobody's else is going on there. And we go up, and there's a guy, and this is way back. If you haven't traveled overseas, you don't know that. They've had armed guards in Europe for 50 years. I mean, we just started. They've always had them. And so we're knocking on this window, and this guy, kind of an overweight Spanish guy, sitting there with a gun in his lap. He wasn't happy about being there either. And so I'm pecking on the window at this guy. You know, I'm pecking. He just, no move. You know, he's like a mannequin or something. And I couldn't get anybody to help us. And we're frustrated, and we see that plane there, and we said, what are we going to do? And it just, I mean, the frustration was incredible. And we had somebody walked up behind us, and in perfect, absolutely perfect English, said, "Can I help you?" And turned around, there's a young man, just a young man, most pleasant young man. He just smiled. He's just this the nicest guy. I don't know where he came from. He says, "May I help you?" I said, "Well, yeah." I said, "That's our plane, and we're trying to get somebody to help us get to the plane. We can't get anybody to talk to us." He said, "Okay, come with me." And he said, "Here we are." We just followed him. And he went over, and he walked over to the lock gate and opened it and walked through past the overweight security guard with the gun. He just walked past, hold against, come on. And so we walked through looking at this guy over here. And he said, "Okay." Then he walked us on through and he led us down to the airport. And nobody paid any attention to us. Nobody paid us any attention before, and they didn't pay any attention to us after. Nobody paid any attention to us, you know. And so he leads us down to the airfield, and there's a little, like a golf cart there. He says, "Come on, get in." So we get in, and he drives us up to the plane, to the steps. He says, "Okay, you can get out now." And get out, and there's the stewardess up there, and I walk up, and I said, "You know, welcome, nice to have you. We don't have a boarding pass. You just give them the tickets." "Okay, that's all right. Here's your seat. We're right here. Fine." So I turned her way to wave at the guy. He's not there. And nobody there. And Linda goes, "Well, who was that guy, you know?" And it was, and they went and sat down, and we're looking at the window, and we take off. And I go, "What is it?" "I believe it's an angel that spoke perfect English." He spoke perfect English and just led us by the guard, opened the gate, took us down, and drove us to the plane. And we got in, went out, and got in the plane. So it's like, all right, amen, amen. So we are convinced it's an angel. God says, "That's it, don't worry about it, all right? Don't worry about it." Now, I want to share a couple other things. And I've had other testimonies of people that had certain encounters. I mean, and probably some of you have had too. Different people had encounters with angels or something. They'll share different things with you and that you feel you know, that you can believe. But we've had several people in this that have parked here, and I could call their names out, I'm not kidding, and they see angels over this property. I've seen people that tell us they've seen angels over the building. I've had people in this congregation that they've seen angels in the sanctuary. You know, they just have a glimpse of it. And it's like, all right. Okay. I mean, what does that mean? It just seems like it's angelic manifestation confirming, you know, our message and ministry while promising protection to the people who attend. That's what it is. I'm going to take care of you. I'm just going to take care of you. Don't worry about it. I'm moving the props. There's hundreds of chariots of fire around you. Don't worry about it. So, God is just letting us know. Now, why is that? That's with confidence so that we can understand what's happening around us. And we know how to address the situations around us. And the confidence that when we stand before our own iron gate, okay, we have confidence that God's angels is opening it. You know, all right. Okay, Lord. Okay, Lord. I'm trying to see what's... You're going to move the props. I'm paying attention. All right? But there's stuff happening around us. Stuff happening around us. Now, how do we qualify? You know? I mean, how do we qualify to be able to be in this position of God's care? Right up here. Look at John 3:16. Okay? God opens our iron gates because he loves us. He loves us. I mean, I don't know when that thing in Madrid, I mean, there was any big life, death situation going on there that I know of, all right? But it was, you know, but when you look at back, why did he help us? Well, I just love you. I'll help. I'll get you through this. And it's like, okay. And it's the only hiccup we had the whole time. So God opens our own gates because he loves us. John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. An eternal life is an eternal relationship with God that starts immediately once you believe. See, he starts teaching us. He starts telling us. And it says, and we go back to Ephesians 6:11, it says, put on the whole armor of God. Meaning, it's not on yet. It's not on yet. You need to start putting this on, all right? Because we're fighting against an evil, scheming devil that'll hurt you. That'll hurt you. Now, don't be scared. Oh, the devil's there and devil get me. No, the devil will use things around you to hurt you. He will lie to you so that you make bad decisions that will cause pain to you. You see what I'm saying? Because he's a liar. He is a liar. But hallelujah, we've got thousands of angels and fiery chariots around us. See, he just wants us to be in gear. Just be in gear. Walk with me. Pay attention. That's what's happening. Don't listen to the lie. Don't listen to the lie. So I think that's enough for us then. Praise Jesus. We know who's moving the props. We know who's moving the props. All right? There's a spiritual reality in this world that's at work. That's at work. And God moves us into this world, carry the message of Christ that has an impact in this world, and around us he has angels that minister to us to carry out what God wants to do. We have a purpose. We have a purpose. Everywhere we are, we have a purpose. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you so much. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your goodness, God. And we just give all things to you, that you care about us more than we can imagine. And that, Lord, too, you have created angels that serve you, that minister to us. We thank you for that. In the name of the Lord Jesus, amen. Amen.